Chapter 10.
"Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit,"
I said, as cockroaches tumbled out of the metal shipping container. Hundreds of the two large insects poured down into the shipyard like a spilled bucket of water. Their brown exoskeletons shimmered in the late afternoon sun, and their antennae wiggled as they took in their surroundings. Thankfully, none of them were as big as the bug that we'd run into in the junkyard, but the pincers were big enough to make me nervous.
"Ugh, that is disgusting,"
Emma gagged as she scooted back further in her seat. The Victorian woman had a deep frown on her rosebud lips, and she curled her fingers in the folds of her black bustle skirt like she wanted to hide away. Some of her glossy black hair had escaped her tidy bun, and the loose strands framed her face. Her sky-blue eyes were focused on the revolting insects, and her pale skin glistened as sweat beaded on her forehead.
"That is far too many to fight,"
Phyla said. She stood in the passenger seat with her garden weasel in one hand and her claws extended on the other. The new weapon was still shiny, and she spun it around in her hand so that she could throw it like a spear if she needed to. She let out a low growl, and her slitted pupils dilated to the size of saucers. "Hopefully we won't have to," I said. "Most cockroaches hide in the shadows, so maybe they'll go away." A few of the irritated insects hissed at us before they scattered in search of somewhere to hide from the evening sun. The shadows consumed them like they were one with the darkness. The cockroaches that remained all turned to look at us with their antennae wiggling.
"At least there's fewer of them,"
Emma huffed and pushed up her puffy white sleeves. Her lightning licked at her arms, and her bright blue eyes shone with her power. She pushed open the door to the jamboree and stepped out like she was a warrior queen about to destroy the army that swarmed toward us. I cut the engine and then jumped out to help my electric girlfriend. My pistol was in my hand as soon as I was out of the jeep, but I only had 12 bullets left, and that wouldn't be enough to take down the hundreds of insects heading our way. "Raz, can you eat them?" I asked.
"I will consume some of them,"
Raz said as she came out behind me.
"I cannot eat all of them because I am not whole."
"Right," I said. I'll find something else I can use."
"They are weak behind their heads,"
Phyla said. The saber-toothed woman leapt over the front seats onto the hood of the car while she brandished her garden weasel. The spikes of her makeshift weapon spun around as she swung down to land a blow on the first insect to reach us. It wedged underneath the creature's thorax, and Phyla yanked up hard to separate the head from the body with a sickening crack.
"Got it,"
I called. I dodged to the left, just as a Crasis extended her arms forward, and I glanced back to see the oil-slick-colored appendages sweep over three of the roaches before she brought them back into her body. The flaky yellow paint of a crowbar caught my attention, and I ran over to the crates to snatch up the heavy bar. I winced as rusty metal scraped against my palm, but there wasn't time to worry about cuts as one of the insects bit at my thick leather shoe. The creature's exoskeleton crunched under the swing of my makeshift weapon. I had to put my foot down on the creature's head to pull the crowbar free and jumped back just to miss one last bite. The scrape of the sharp mouthpieces against my boot felt like it might actually get through the thick leather. I glanced down to make sure that it hadn't, and then jumped back into the fray. Emma had gathered so much of her Westinghouse powers that she had a constant stream of lightning blasting out of her fingertips, and the petite Victorian-era woman managed to maneuver the erratic beams between the onslaught of insects. 20 of them fell in one swipe, and the stream just narrowly missed Phyla as the saber-toothed woman slashed through another group of the insects with her garden weasel. A Crasis was surrounded by a semicircle of corpses that she had already begun to melt and consume, and the creatures had begun to give her and her slime a wide berth. Her feet had become a wide puddle underneath her to better help her consume the liquidized insects, and she'd consumed most of them by the time I ran over to the ladies. Phyla swatted at a cockroach that was as long as her arm, and then leaned down to slash into another with her sharp nails. The sharp claws sliced clean through the exoskeleton, and the unfortunate creature fell to the ground to twitch a few more times and then went still. The saber-toothed woman was careful to avoid the arcing lightning that came from Emma, but her hair still frizzed as the electricity filled the air. The irradiated roaches began to thin out as all four of us slashed and defended the jamboree from the hissing horde. Their bodies littered the black asphalt of the shipyard, and I shivered as I looked over at the sea of black and brown exoskeletons. The few that were still alive scattered and dove under the containers where their smarter friends had hidden.
I have never hated roaches more than I do at this very moment,
Emma said. The Gibson girl lookalike reached up to tug her glossy black locks free from their now messy bun. The strands of her hair were twisted back up into a perfect bun, and her sky-blue eyes still glowed from the use of her powers.
At least these are dead now, I said as I kicked one of the insects.
There are still many more that are hidden from view,
Phyla said as she pried her garden weasel free.
Yeah, but they won't come out until it's dark, I responded. As long as we're back to the base by then, we should be all right.
Sunset is at 7:43 p.m.,
Abby informed me. I looked down at my watch to see that it was already 6 p.m. We only had a little over an hour and a half to get all the way back to camp, and it had taken a few hours just to get to the city in the first place. I could at least get us far enough away from downtown that the roaches wouldn't be a problem, but if there were any of the giant insects out in the junkyard, then we would have to fight them as well. Okay, I said. Let's double-check the shipping container and make sure there aren't any more of those damned things in there. Then we can head toward the base before the sun sets. I think we can at least get back to the junkyard and out of downtown. We'll have to keep an eye out for any more of those giant motherfuckers, but if we're very lucky, then we won't draw too much attention to ourselves.
Do you think the outskirts of the junkyard will have those floating lanterns?
Emma asked. Maybe, I said. I'm not sure if Abby can hack into them or not, but it'll be worth a shot. I can have her direct them to us to at least ward off the smaller ones.
That is a good idea,
Raz said.
They do not seem to like the light.
The beautiful alien woman had swept over the black asphalt to devour the corpses of the cockroaches. The pavement was cleaner than it had been before our battle, and Acrasis looked exactly the same as she reformed. Not usually, I agreed. All right, so first things first. Abby, can you have the drone winch set the container down so that we can look through it?
As you wish, Dave Meyer,
the robotic woman said. The drone winch inched over until it had enough space to safely place the massive metal box down on the black asphalt. The cable stayed latched onto the hooks, and the robot settled onto the top of the container as if it was tired.
I'll go first,
Emma said, as she summoned her lightning. Don't push yourself too hard, I said. You've used a lot of power today, especially after how much you used yesterday.
I won't.
The elegant woman started toward the wide-open doors. She almost glowed with the use of her powers, like she was an electrified porcelain doll. The lightning arced out more chaotically than it usually did, but the blue sparks still found the roaches that tried to run past her.
The insects smell better when they're cooked,
Phyla said, and licked her lips.
Though I still prefer to eat them raw.
Well, if you think you'll eat them later, then we can keep them in there, and you can have something to munch on, I said as I gave her a smile.
No, thank you, Dave Meyer,
the saber-toothed woman said with a roll of her yellow-green eyes.
I believe that we have enough meat in those cans, and I've tasted enough of the insects for the moment.
As have I,
Acrasis said.
They are not appetizing, but they are full of protein.
That is true,
Phyla said.
I am glad that I was able to at least have my fill of them. I should not need to eat again until tomorrow.
It's all done,
Emma said as she strolled toward us. The Victorian-era woman yawned, and tears pricked at the corners of her eyes. The veins in her hands stood out against her pale skin and were a brighter blue than I'd ever seen on her. She definitely used too much of her powers, but we still had a long way to go before we were safe, and she'd probably use it again if I didn't say something. Are you okay? I asked, as I brushed a stray strand of hair behind her ear. Maybe you should take it easy for the rest of the trip.
I'm fine,
the petite woman said with a small smile.
Just a little tired. I do think I'll eat some of the rations that we retrieved from the store.
Would you like me to cut up one of the cooked insects for you, Emma?
Phyla asked as she extended the claws on her right hand.
No, thank you,
the Victorian-era woman said with a shake of her head.
I don't think I would be able to keep that down.
I understand,
the saber-toothed woman said.
I do not believe that I would eat them if I had not needed the meat.
Go ahead and get something to eat, I said. I'll have Abby take care of the container, and then we'll head out. I gave the beautiful woman a quick kiss on her rosebud lips, and then watched her as she walked back over to the Jeep. She searched through the cans and then settled on Vienna sausages with a pull-top lid.
I took a step toward her when she swayed on her feet, but she managed to slide into the front passenger seat without any problems. "Abby, do you think you could dump out the cockroaches in the container?" I asked.
"As you wish, Dave Meyer,"
the automated voice responded.
"I believe the drone winch will be able to carry the shipping container better once it is unloaded. However, it will only be able to travel 10 miles per hour.
"Okay," I said with a shrug. "At least we'll have it. I can hardly wait to get started on it. Do you think you can have the drone run silently so that we don't draw any attention to ourselves?"
"I believe that the drone winch will emit a low-frequency sound as it carries the container,"
the robotic woman said. "Well," I said, "I guess that's better than a high-pitched one. All right, I think we can make it back, but we may need to fight at least a little bit."
"I will be ready,"
Raz said as she walked over to the Jeep.
"I cannot eat much more of them without the remainder of myself, but I will be able to help. And I already feel better."
Emma flashed a bright smile before she bit into the last of the sausages.
"I should be able to use my Westinghouse powers again, though I will be sleeping very hard tonight."
"I have a few bullets left," I said, "and my crowbar. That should be more than enough, especially if those floating lanterns can be gathered around us to ward off the roaches." As the drone winch rose into the air, the cables in the back became shorter while the ones in the front elongated. The cables made a bouncing motion that shook out the bodies of the roaches and then evened out. The machine hovered silently in the air near our Jeep and waited for directions.
"The container is ready to be transported,"
Abby informed me. "Great," I said. "Let's get on the road." The sun had begun to sink toward the horizon, and I wanted to be as far away from the city and any more nests as possible before the last rays disappeared. I jumped into the Jamboree, buckled up, and then checked on the girls and the drones as we all settled in. All of the streets were empty as I drove back through the city. I took the same path we'd taken on the way in, and soon the paved street I was on had pointed me toward the mounds of the junkyard. A few stores still lined the road and would probably have had more supplies, but the dying sunlight kept my foot on the gas pedal. I had enough ammo at the moment that I didn't really need to restock, and we'd retrieved plenty of food from the grocery store. I didn't see any other drones in the air, but there were hundreds that had dropped wherever they were when the Gilding PM went down. Some of them still clutched building materials, while others were empty-handed. The lights on their displays had gone out, and I started to wonder if the floating lanterns would still be active, or if they would have died as well. A scraping sound came from behind us, and I slammed on the brakes to find out what it was. I gave a relieved sigh when I realized that the noise had come from the winch running into the building and not something coming after us. The machines that we'd passed remained dead, and I turned back around to focus on the road. "Hey, Abby," I said when the winch ran into another building. "Can you be a little more careful with your piloting?"
"As you wish, Dave Meyer,"
the robotic woman responded. I eased down on the gas pedal and started to inch forward again. The Jamboree made the transition from smooth black asphalt to the rough, broken roads, and the shocks did their job so well that it wasn't too bad. I checked the rearview mirror a few times to make sure that the drone winch hadn't run into anything else, but it managed to keep to the middle of the path.
"The sun will set soon,"
Phyllis said as she looked toward the horizon. "We got a few more miles to go," I said, "but I think we should be okay. I doubt there's a ton of nests in the junkyard. They would have noticed us over the last day and a half."
"How long do we have until we move on to the next world?"
Raz asked from behind me. 3 p.m. tomorrow," I said.
"That'll give us a good night's rest,"
Emma said as she stifled another yawn. I glanced at my watch and then did a double take as I realized that our time of departure had moved up. The 16 hours that we were supposed to have left before the jump had changed to only 9 hours. I did the math and realized that we'd be in another dimension by 8 a.m. "Well," I started, "it looks like the dimensional engine patent pending is recharged faster. We'll be making the next jump at 8 a.m.
"Still not too bad,"
the Victorian-era woman said.
"I'm sure we'll all be ready for an early bedtime tonight."
"I believe that I will sleep through the night,"
Phyllis said as she watched the junkyard. The sky was set ablaze with the mangoes, lavenders, and rose colors of sunset. The light blue canopy above us had started to darken, and streaks of daylight peeked out from behind the brightly colored clouds.
The sun itself had become a golden orb that was almost hidden behind the mounds of discarded houseware.
It has been an eventful day,
Raz said. It's almost over, I said. We just need to get back to the base. I can start the conversion of the shipping container once we're in the next world. I think that together we should be able to make quick work of it.
I look forward to having our new shelter completed,
my saber-toothed girlfriend said.
The tent is comfortable, but it will not be able to survive if there is a strong storm.
No, I said with a shake of my head. It'll do for now, but I'm really looking forward to having a sturdier home. Although, we did do a really good job with the shack for the short amount of time we had to build it.
I do believe that it held up quite well,
Emma agreed.
It was just not sturdy enough for a world with such severe earthquakes.
Exactly, I said. We're getting a better idea of what kind of worlds we're going to run into. I saw a few shows where hoarders converted shipping containers into homes. They worked in deserts, forests, and in the snow.
Perhaps we can find some way to make it float as well,
the Gibson girl look-alike in my passenger seat said.
Just in case we find ourselves in another water-filled world.
I think we can do that, I said. I'll go through the notes that the magpies gave me. I'm sure there's something in there for that, since Puck thought of everything else. The pink-haired magpie had given us all of the information she had about the shipping container conversions that they'd done. The integration of technology into the metal boxes, and the gardens that she'd managed to create. It had been a bit overwhelming to see how much they'd come up with, though I suspected that she'd come up with a few extra ideas for our unique situation. I just had to find the right files on the Namshubs. A small earthquake shook the ground underneath us, and I tapped the brakes as a cabinet slid down the mound in front of us. I waited until the wooden storage box had stopped before I eased around it to continue on the way to the base.
Dave Meyer, there is a malfunction in the drone winch,
Abby said. I hit the brakes again as I glanced in the rearview mirror to see that the shipping container and its flying robotic transporter had dipped down. Abby had kept it far enough back that it didn't hit us, but the drone flickered as it struggled to stay on. What's going on? I asked. Why is it shutting off?
I believe the earthquake has interfered with the magnetic fields that keep the drone afloat,
the robotic woman answered. Will it pass? I asked as I watched the sun finally sink below the horizon. I had another few miles to go before we could get back to the base, and there was no way that we could move this shipping container if we didn't have the drone.
It seems to be functional again,
the automated woman responded. The drone lifted off the ground and managed to heft the container with it, though it did sway a little as another earthquake shook the ground. I watched until it evened out before I turned back around and hit the gas. The winch swayed in the rearview mirror, and I bounced in my seat as the jamboree jumped over a TV that had slid down the mound to my right.
Oh, I thought the next big earthquake wouldn't be until early morning,
Emma huffed as another earthquake began to rattle the mounds around us. It seems like it might be early today, I said. I'm going to speed up, so make sure you're all buckled in.
I have secured myself,
a crisis said.
I will be fine, Dave Meyer,
Phyllis said as she crouched down in the back seat.
I'm buckled in,
Emma said. Good, I said. Then let's put the pedal to the metal. Abby, can you make the drone winch go any faster?
It can fly up to 30 miles per hour, Dave Meyer,
the robotic woman said.
However, the engine will likely burn out by the time we reach the base.
All right, I replied. Let's push it as far as we can. If it seems like it's about to die, then go ahead and slow down.
As you wish, Dave Meyer,
Abby said. The drone winch made a whining noise as it sped up, and soon it was right on my tail again. More minor earthquakes began to rumble through the massive junkyard, but each time, the flying robot managed to regain altitude again and followed after us. I don't think the lanterns are coming out tonight, I said. The last of the sunlight had completely disappeared, and the only illumination was from the headlights of the jamboree. Darkness made the shapes in the mounds more ominous, and I jumped at every shadow that even remotely resembled a giant cockroach. I kept my eyes on the road in front of me, and let out a sigh of relief when the miniature version of Riggs came onto the lens of the Namshubs to switch them into night vision mode. I blinked as my eyes adjusted to the green light, and then my breath froze in my chest. Thousands of the leg-sized cockroaches had emerged from their daytime hiding places. I didn't slow down, and the sound of the jeep seemed to grab the creature's attention. Shit, 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 I whispered.
What's wrong?
Emma asked as she peered into the growing darkness.
The insects have left their caves,
Phyllis snarled.
The saber-toothed woman stood from her crouched position as she surveyed the area around the Jambo. Her black tufted tail swished behind her, and her slitted pupils became saucers so that she could see everything. She reminded me of a cat that had found a bird it wanted to catch, and I was grateful that she was on our side.
Oh no!
The Victorian-era woman said as her hands began to light up.
Should I start using my Westinghouse power now?
Not yet, I said. Wait until we don't have a choice. There's thousands of them, so we need to save our energy.
How far until we're back at the base?
Fila asked. We should be back in about 5 minutes, I said.
When I am reunited with the part of myself that I left behind, I will be able to devour all of them,
Acrasis said from behind me.
Until then, I do not believe I will be able to consume more than a few hundred before we are overwhelmed.
We'll take what we can get, I said. Emma, why don't you use my crowbar as a lightning rod? You can direct your powers down it like a whip, so that way it won't be near the jeep.
Well, that does sound fun,
the dark-haired woman said with a bright smile as she reached down for the metal stick. All right, they're almost here, I said. I'll keep driving while all of you clear them away from us. I glanced in the rearview mirror to see the darkened shadow of the drone winch. It still flew behind us, though the sound of the engine had grown louder, and the display continued to flash a warning light. I saw it dip a few times, but it was still high enough that the smaller roaches couldn't jump onto it. Emma did what I suggested and directed her lightning down the length of the crowbar as she stood in the front passenger seat. The blue sparks arced high into the air and then swept down like a long whip that crackled with power. She managed to sweep the road in front of me clear, but the damned roaches spilled back into my way in seconds. The sounds of their skittering feet became a creepy soundtrack as I drove as quickly as I could through the debris of the junkyard. I could hear Acrasis and Fila behind me as they kept the disgusting creatures away from the back of the jeep, and I hoped that we would make it in time. I almost shouted for joy when I saw the dark oil-slick-colored slime dome that covered our base. The jamboree fishtailed a bit as I started to climb up the small path that led to our home, but it managed to keep heading up the path. I glanced in the rearview mirror and saw that the warning lights on the drone winch had started to blink faster, and thin trails of smoke drifted up from the bottom. "We're almost there," I told everyone. "We just have one last push. Raz, will you be ready?"
"Yes, Dave Meyer,"
the alien woman said.
"I will become one now. Though it will mean that there will not be a shield."
"That's fine," I said, "as long as you can take out the rest of the roaches." I could hear Floppy on the other side of the dome, and I wondered what it looked like from his perspective with all of us just barely ahead of the swarm of hissing insects. The jeep crested the top of the base, and the shield disappeared as soon as Acrasis was underneath it. The oil-slick M-colored slime slashed out in every direction while I threw the car in park. I jumped out with my Glock in hand as I readied myself to start shooting. But my alien girlfriend had already consumed every roach that came over the edge of the base, so I slid the gun back in its holster. The drone winch struggled to rise high enough to reach the base. The container that it carried slammed into the solid earth and then slid over the ledge to come to a dramatic stop. The overtaxed flying machine let out a final whine before a black puff of smoke drifted up and it collapsed on top of the shipping container. The huge metal box was in its final resting place, but it was close enough to the middle of the camp that it was perfect where it was. The ground started to shake as I walked toward the shipping container, so I changed direction and ran over to the edge just in time to see a giant fissure open and swallow most of the junkyard below. And the massive crack was headed straight toward the base.